Beloved in the Lord, on this Father's Day, we especially give thanks to God for the noble vocation of fatherhood as given us in the Bible, and for those men whom He has called to be the appointed heads of their families and leaders in the community. The best example we have of a father is in the person of Jesus Christ. As He Himself said, "He who has seen Me has seen the Father. I and the Father are one." Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of the Father's nature, who upholds the universe by the word of His power. Through Christ, we fathers and we children have all that we need to support this body and life. So our sermon for today will exemplify this vocation of fatherhood. We'll do so by taking a closer look at Jesus' 7 I Am statements in the Gospel of John, which served as our VBS texts. Every one of these sayings is a treasure for the church. They are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, especially fathers, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The first I Am saying we shall examine is in John chapter 6. Here Jesus declares, "I am the bread of life." Bread signifies sustenance, a provision that supports life. An earthly father, in the biblical sense, is a provider, called to ensure the physical needs of his family, that they're met. But biblical fatherhood transcends the physical. Just as Christ is the bread of life that also nourishes our souls, fathers are to feed their families spiritually, teaching them to hunger and thirst for righteousness, directing their gaze in all things to that bread of life that is Christ Jesus. This is a tall order indeed, especially in a world that belittles and mocks biblical patriarchy. That word patriarchy already has a negative connotation, but it's a beautiful thing. Therefore, let us draw strength from the bread that God supplies. Consider in the Bible Christ's forefather, Abraham. In many ways, Abraham is still the father of all the faithful. Obeying the voice of the Almighty, Abraham had to forsake all earthly comforts. But in so doing, Abraham found abundant provisions for his family, not only in earthly bread, but in spiritual sustenance as well. By the gracious hand of God, Abraham provided for his family. He led them in worship. He offered sacrifices to God on their behalf. He interceded for them. He taught them. And he reminded them that the one true God has power even over death. Abraham believed firmly in Christ and in the resurrection. Therefore, Abraham knew that God would always provide. He even named that mountain of Jerusalem, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord, Christ was provided. O fathers, O brothers, even in the midst of a world that often measures a man's worth solely based on his material provisions, we must remember that the calling to spiritual headship and authority is just as vital. Nay, it is more so. Your calling as a father matters more than any amount of trinkets or games or vacations or experiences you could ever buy for your children. Can I get an amen? Kind of Baptist-y. You can take that back to Pastor Christensen. Moving to the second proclamation of Jesus, he declares, "I am the light of the world." In this image, Christ illumines our darkened world. He opens the eyes of the blind and blinds those who claim to see, like Paul on the road to Damascus. Only in Christ do we have a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. Just like Jesus, so too are godly fathers lights in the world. He says, you are the light of the world. Fathers are entrusted with the holy duty of guiding their families on the path of righteousness. This is not merely pointing the way. You go, I'll stay here. Right? But faithfully leading the way and setting the good example. Fathers, you see how dark and twisted our world has become. How it dangles shiny rainbows and glittering clothing before our children's eyes in an attempt to lure them away into the eternal fire, which belongs to Lucifer, that angel of light, and his demons. It is before these demonic bands that Christian fathers stand as true bearers of God's light, holding up his lamp for their families, even guiding their neighbors into the heavenly rays of God's eternal salvation. Consider, for example, Saint Joseph, who kept watch over the infant Jesus. When an evil tyrant tried to lay hands on the boy, Joseph stood in his way and led his whole family to safety. He willingly embraced the hardships of that journey, despised the shame of falsely being called sexually immoral throughout his life, and considered at all times the best interests of his family above his own. God be praised for Joseph. Thirdly, Jesus proclaims, I am the door of the sheep, or the gate of the sheep. This image paints a picture of Christ as a protector, safeguarding his flock, ensuring that no harm befalls them. Similarly, fathers are protectors and gatekeepers of their families, guarding them against both physical and spiritual harm. As I often do with my kids on the TV, right? We can't watch that show, right? That's a gatekeeper. A wonderful biblical example of this is that of Jairus, a synagogue leader, who, despite his public stature, fell at the feet of Jesus, begging for the life of his daughter. Here was a father willing to protect his child even at the cost of his own reputation. In a world teeming with threats to our children's spiritual well-being and physical, fathers, you must persist in your protective role, guiding your children away from the destructive paths and towards Christ, to his feet, regardless of what it does to reputation. My friends, considering this, we all must do our part in lifting up Christian fathers. They're tasked with doing what must be done for the sake of their children. For this, they receive the world's mockery and contempt. So let us honor such men, as we do in the fourth commandment, that they may despise such worldly opinions and be content with the glory they have amongst God's people. Amen. For I am the good shepherd, says Jesus. In the image of the shepherd, we find a leader who tends to his flock with care and sacrificial love. The shepherd knows his own sheep, and the sheep know him. Similarly, godly fathers are not distant figures, but men who are intimately immersed as servants and leaders in their households, aware of the joys, sorrows, strengths, and struggles of their children. As shepherds, they comfort, correct, and discipline their children with noble and steadfast love. They direct God's lambs with wisdom and tend the flock with great care. Take the patriarch Jacob, for example. Our father Jacob was a man who faced numerous trials, especially within his own household. His father didn't favor him. His twin brother sought to kill him. His uncle tricked him. Two wives, two concubines, jealousy, rage, animosity children treating one another with contempt, and in one episode, even murdering their neighbors. Often we find Jacob at the brink of utter despair. And yet all the while, he remained a caring shepherd over his family, and even on his deathbed spoke blessings to his children. Fathers like Jacob, they lead their families with wisdom, teaching them the ways of the Lord. They discipline and instruct and pass on their example what qualities to emulate and what sins to avoid. Right? Don't do what I did when I was young. Right? It's a wonderful gift. Fifth. In the fifth I Am statement, Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life." In the face of death and despair, Christ brings life, hope, and joy. Like the father of the prodigal son, an earthly father also brings life, hope, and joy to his family. The prodigal's father does not scold nor scorn, but welcomes home his wayward son with open arms. In their tear-filled embrace, a monumentous moment, we find repentance and love, forgiveness, and the joyous hope of restoration to everlasting life. If you've lost your father and you're thinking about him today, God be praised. For all Christian fathers, we will see again. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Therefore, fathers of this day, remind your families of the eternal hope and life that we have in Christ. Even in difficult times, you are tasked with directing your family to the resurrection, giving them eyes to see life through God's eternal perspective, and reminding them that in Christ, we have victory over sin and death and the devil. In this victory, we find our strength to repent, to restore, and to welcome home all the lost and wayward with open arms, no matter how grievously they've sinned against us. God be praised. Sixth, Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This sixth proclamation lays the path upon which fathers are to lead their children. They are to guide them in the way of Christ, to teach them the truth of His gospel, and to help them understand the abundance of life found only in Jesus. Biblical fathers like these are not only of the biological right, but those given such an office by spiritual authorization. Consider St. Paul. He was a single man like our Lord, but became a spiritual father to many of our brethren, and I would wager even to us. He called Timothy my son and taught the young lad and many others the power of God's word. He guided the church in speech and in conduct and set an encouraging example for us to imitate even unto death. Like St. Paul, all fathers ought to diligently guide their children with God's wisdom, reminding them foremost in the way of resurrection to life eternal. Seventh, lastly, in the final proclamation, Jesus claims, "I am the true vine." Just as a vine gives life and vitality to its branches, Christ gives life and helps us to bear abundant fruit. Fathers too have this vital role. Being themselves rooted in Christ, godly fathers bear the fruits of the Spirit for their children. The fruits of love, joy, patience, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Consider our patriarch Isaac, who not only passed down the Abrahamic covenant to his son, but also showed him what it means to abide in the living God. Not only did Isaac supply Jacob with vital fruits of the Spirit, he also pruned and disciplined his son like a vine dresser so that he might bear more fruit. Likewise, O fathers, abiding in Christ, you become vines of spiritual nourishment for your children. Through your fruit, your vine dressing, your abiding, you enable your children to produce the same godly fruits to the abundant praise of God. Conclusion. Brethren, the biblical vocation of fatherhood is indeed a divine calling, a reflection of our Father in heaven. To all fathers, remember, you are not alone. Christ, the perfect image of our Heavenly Father, strengthens and guides you and atones for all your sins and shortcomings. So stand firm, men, and stand fast with me against a world that belittles us and the doctrine that we uphold. Brothers, fatherhood is honorable. It is noble. It is God ordained. That's all we need. As you carry out your fatherly duties, look to Christ. Look to His I Am statements and these countless examples of biblical fathers. These will strengthen you. And by them you yourselves will become like the bread that nourishes, the light that guides, the door that protects, the shepherd that cares, the resurrection that brings hope, the truth that teaches, and the vine that sustains to the bitter end. All of you, stand this day with our fathers. Pray for them, honor them, lift them up, and thank God for their love and service as they carry out their God-given vocation to the glory of our Father in heaven. Amen. Amen.